Welcome, everybody, to the Fisherman Ministries Wednesday Women's Bible Study. Welcome, Karen and Meekin.
Yes, welcome, everybody.
Hello, all.
During the recording of this broadcast, we experienced some technical difficulties. We apologize for the incomplete introduction. Today, we will be studying Luke 22, verse 54, to Luke 24, verse 31.
Made there, and she looks at him, and she recognizes that he was one who was with Jesus, and he denied Jesus, and he denied him. He denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And then, of course, we have two other testimonies, one where a man said, "Thou art also of them," Peter denied him not, and then the third one who confidently affirmed. I mean, he's sure. And Peter now, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, "Man, I know it not what thou sayest." And, of course, exactly at that time, the cock crew. And here you see where Jesus turns and looks at Peter. Now, Peter, before this, didn't really know Peter. But Jesus did. We know that he prayed for Peter because Satan had desired to take him. And, you know, Jesus ministered to Peter knowing what he was going to do and knowing that Jesus had prayed and giving the prophecy that when thou art converted, when you've picked yourself up from this, receive my forgiveness, go strengthen the brethren. So Peter had everything he needed, but of course, to have done this. I mean, he didn't just say, "Well, I don't know him," but he actually denied Christ. He had three opportunities not to. And he had been told he was going to do it. And nevertheless, he did. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I mean, he bewailed what he had done.
It had to be a horrible thing for him. Horrible, horrible thing.
Peter didn't know his own heart, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we like to think we would do something. But the thing is if we can recognize that we don't know if we would. We can then pray and be prayerful and move toward being able to. And I know the Lord gives us each day to do just that, and it's in that that we are strengthened for the next day. And it is a walk that isn't that good feeling exalted, I'm so courageous and this is great. It's a walk of actually choice no matter what the circumstance. Peter here fell. But he, of course, did not only repent, but he also received God's forgiveness. And that's another important thing, because if you don't receive it and then go forth again, you're not believing. Peter did, and Peter had to obviously do that many times going forward. But if you pick up then in 63.
"And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him."
Okay, so here you have the man who has done the works of God, they know it, they've seen it, the testimony of God has been undeniable. So now they are in control, so to speak. And they think they are. And control has been given to them at this moment. This is the hour of darkness. And it's by the choice of Jesus that he has submitted to it, which is why they have that power. And so they take him, and now they're mocking him. You know, here, the King of the Jews, we see this whole mockery going down through this, the end of this chapter and the next chapter. And, you know, here he's a prophet, so they cover his face and strike him and say, prophesy who smote you. I mean, they're making fun of him. And 65 says, you know, that 64 gives us an example. 65 says many other things blasphemously spake they against him. So it was a time of lies, not a time of truth, a time of ridicule. And that's what they were doing. They were ridiculing Jesus here.
And I looked up blasphemously, and it says the meaning of it is defame, rail on, revile, and speak evil, which we kind of know what blasphemously means, but I looked it up to see what, you know, it said there. So they were speaking evil of him, reviling him, railing on him, yeah, and defaming him.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen. So if you'd like to pick up on 66 there.
And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. And said they all, okay. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth.
So, and as soon as it was day, so you notice this was all done under cover of darkness. As we spoke about before, they were looking for occasion to do this. They were afraid of the people. Judas came and they conspired to do this at night. They go and they take him at night, arrest him, and bring him to the high priest's house. And now when the day begins, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and they led him into their council. Now they're going to try Christ. And so they ask him point blank, art thou the Christ? And Jesus tells them point blank, if I tell you, you will not believe. You're not going to believe me no matter what I say. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me nor let me go. You know, they've already determined what they're going to do. And he just gives a simple acknowledgement of it. He knows what they've determined and he knows what's going to happen. And he speaks it to them. And then he says, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. And you know, when Jesus was resurrected, that is the power of God. It is the power of God that those who believe trust in. And then they say, then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And he's basically telling them, he's or pretty clearly saying, you know I am. You know it. Obviously doesn't matter to them, but it's not hidden. And just in contrast, you know, when John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus and asked him if he was the one, what Jesus did was he performed the works of God. He didn't give them answer. He performed the works of God, and then he said, go tell John the works I do. They testify of me. Now, John believed. These people with the exact same testimony chose not to. You know I am. The works testified of him. The scripture testified of him. And their response is, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard it of his own mouth. This, instead of, what do we need any further witness? Now it's, for them, it's the witness of condemnation, not the witness of who he is. That's the way they chose to take it. And it proves, if I tell you, you will not believe. So Karen, picking up in 23 there.
Okay. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. So here it is, the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And that whole multitude is a bunch of chief priests and scribes and people and elders. It was all of them together going against Jesus. And they led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation." And I looked up perverting, and it's number 1294, and it means to turn away. So they're saying that he's turning the nation away and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And it's interesting that in chapter 20, verses 21 to 25 of Luke, talks about this. Before, when they sent spies to pretending to be just men to take a hold of his words to try to accuse him. And in verse 21, they asked him, saying, "Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no?" But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Shew me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." So he has already told them about this, and now they're accusing him of forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, which is, of course, a lie, which is pretty much everything they're, you know, coming against him is. So verse 2, saying that he is Christ, a king. So, you know, they're coming against him and railing against him. And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." And that pretty much, you know, is Jesus saying, you know, again, like he did before in the previous chapter. You know, they won't believe him, so he's not going to come and say anything else, you know. He's not there to prove. Go ahead, Robin.
No, I had to cough. I apologize.
He's not there to prove himself. He's already done the works. He's now going to the cross and doing what his father told him to do, and he is set in doing that, and he's not going to be answering to them anymore with anything. You know, he is done with that. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." So he had, you know, no reason to keep him. And the people became more fierce. and coming against him more and saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. So he notices that they said Galilee. So he said, is he a Galilean? And then as soon as he found that out, he sent him to Herod, because Herod was also at Jerusalem during that time. So he sent him to Herod thinking, well, Herod can take care of him. It's like a political struggle trying to get this done, you know, and get Jesus off his hands and send him to Herod. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was glad because he wanted to see some miracle done by him. Now, Jesus was out there doing miracles all the time, and nothing was hidden from the people. And Herod had a chance to see miracles done by him, but it's almost like he was looking to have him perform for him, you know, because he's the special governor of the place, you know, he's really special. I want to have Jesus perform for me, you know. And so he questioned him. But Jesus, of course, answered him nothing, because he's done answering. And the chief priests and scribes accused him vehemently. And that means fiercely and mightily. They, with all they had, they were coming against him. And so Herod and took his men of war and decided to take him and mock him and put him in a beautiful robe and sent him back to Pilate. And that same day, this is a really interesting, we were talking about this before, that, you know, it's kind of a really interesting verse here. In the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And it's a sad day for them that they were made friends together over coming against Jesus, which you don't want to be doing that. That is something that is kind of ironic, I guess you might say, in the world, because they were made friends together over coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. And bad day for both of those guys. Do you, Robin or Megan, have any comments?
I just wanted to go back to verse 2 because they bring two basic accusations. One's a religious one, when, you know, he's perverting the nation. He's basically trying to turn them away from our faith, when actually what he did was he fulfilled all that the Old Testament spoke. And then the second one is political, you know, because he's saying, forbidding, actually, they're saying, to give tribute to Caesar, not just suggesting it or anything, but they're telling a lie, forbidding to give unto Caesar, claiming that he is the king of the Jews, not Caesar. So they bring both a religious and a political accusation against Pilate. But you notice Pilate doesn't see either of those as true, because Pilate's answer is, well, he first asked Jesus, is he the king of the Jews? Jesus says, you say I am. And then he, but still, this, Jesus hasn't threatened anybody over the 3 years of his walk. He wasn't a person like Barabbas, who we're going to read about, who brought up an uprising. I mean, his ministry was one that he brought peace, the peace of God. He brought healing. He brought, you know, the things of the kingdom of God right into Israel at that time and ministered them. And this hadn't gone unnoticed, you know what I'm saying? And what does Pilate say there? He didn't find any fault in this man. He didn't find, and their accusations didn't convince him otherwise. He wasn't threatened by the guy. The ones who were threatened were the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, not Pilate. We see he appears to be threatened by them as he goes down. He tries to get rid of it, as you rightly said, to Herod. And the interesting thing about that, too, is, you know, Herod had beheaded John the Baptist a couple years earlier. and actually had feared there. He thought Jesus was actually John resurrected, come back to life. And it's kind of interesting because it displays how we are. You know, we can have a fear because Herod did wrong in that. And he knew it, but, you know, he got away with it. A couple years have passed. Lightning didn't come down and strike the man. And so now we see a different Herod. Here he is, you know, wanting to see, like Karen said, you know, kind of perform. Show me a miracle. I want to see a miracle. And, of course, Jesus doesn't have anything to do with it, and Herod's not really interested in taking this responsibility. He just wanted to see something cool or whatever. And so they mock him. What does it say? And Herod with his men of war. So this is his army. This is his armed men. They set him at naught, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. So they too played, you know, Jesus was the king of the Jews, and this is how they treated the king of the Jews. They made fun of him, and they did, they mocked him. They set him at naught. Naught meaning contemptible, despised, least esteemed, set at naught. So, Megan, unless you had something more to say, we'll let Karen pick up with verse 14.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You know how whenever they come against people, men of God, those who believe the Lord, they have to lie. And you see this in each of these instances. I was having a look quickly to see if I could find this. Let me start here. We found this fellow perverting the nation. You covered that. He actually came to fulfill the law and to lead them in the law, not in the law, but in the faith, and lead them to the Lord. Not to take them away. So, lie number one. Forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. We know tribute's like a tax, if you will, so it's money. And we read a few weeks back in Luke 20, when they, you know, were trying to trick him, and they came and asked if it's lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not. And he said, whose image and superscription is it? And they said, Caesar's. And his answer was, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And the things, you know, and unto God the things that are God. So, lie number two, there it is, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. He never did that. He said, yeah, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Lie number three, saying that he himself is Christ a king. I was having a look to check. I have not quite come by it. He did say he was certainly the Son of God and the Son of Man. But I am not aware of himself calling himself a king. I'm looking to find out. So, you know, if you want to carry on, I will continue to check while you do that.
I will, and that's a good point, but when Pilate asks him, he doesn't say otherwise. So where your point that he might not have spoken those words, which they're putting in his mouth, he was Christ the King, and he knew that. Pilate asked him, and he said, you know that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess my thing is, well, two things. One is, you know, he didn't disagree with Pilate. But those words didn't come from him.
I hear what you're saying, yeah.
He also isn't Christ a king. He's Christ the king.
Yes. You're right.
But I will continue to look. It looks like, yes, it looks to me like other people say that, you know, like when he was born and here at his at the end here, but it does not look as if Jesus ever called himself the king or a king. Besides which, if he called himself king, he would be taking the glory which was his father's, which we know he didn't do. Messiah, yes. Emmanuel, yes.
I do hear what you're saying. I mean, their whole thing was to provoke Pilate to action, and they're really failing. What provokes him is fear of them, not these accusations against Jesus. Because, gosh, as you said, when both of you looked back at chapter 20, Jesus, you know, I mean, the kingdoms of this world are in Satan's hands. And we live in this world. And we know that because during that first temptation that was recorded, where he went off after his spirit baptism, and one of the things was when Satan took him up on a pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and told him that they could be his if he would bow down and worship him. And Jesus said, you know, answered him with the word of God, that thou shalt, I forget exactly how it goes, but worship no other God but him. And he never discounted Satan's ability or authority over those kingdoms. And, you know, Jesus didn't came to change the world in that sense. He came to change individuals if they would believe. And he's of a different kingdom. And, you know, the works that he did gave testimony to the kingdom, to who he was, because he fulfilled the word of God. And all the prophecies that had spoken to this point in the Old Testament, he fulfilled every one of them. And they, of course, have rejected who he is, knowing full well who he is, and try to get, and they're, like you rightly state, I mean, they're using what they have in their book, so to speak, everything they have to incite Pilate to kill Jesus. But their accusations fall on deaf ears. But I hear what you're saying, that he himself never said, I am Christ A, or the King. You know what I'm saying? He did have that discourse where he asked them, you know, if David said, you know, about my Lord said to, I forget how he put that, where he talks about that, which is, looks back to the Psalms. Do you know where that is?
The Lord said unto my Lord.
Yeah. Sit thou in my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, I think. So, I mean, it wasn't a hidden fact who Jesus was, if you understood or had any understanding. And, of course, the Jews were looking. These guys were looking for a king to come and reign over them, but they didn't like the way Jesus reigns and what kingdom he reigns over and what it speaks of us, what it says about us. They didn't like that. They wanted it to say something good about them. And it doesn't. It doesn't say anything good about you, and it doesn't say anything good about me, and it didn't say anything good about them. The fact that Jesus had to come and pay the price for their sin, your sin, and my sin. That they didn't like that. They wanted him to be a political ruler, and he didn't fit the bill they wanted. And they wanted him to come and glorify them and set them up as special and wonderful, and he didn't do that. And they didn't like this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wasn't what they were looking for. And of course, you know, not all of Israel, but I mean, it was a prevailing view that they were going to become and proven right. see, Rome, you're wrong. We're right. And that isn't how he came. And that wasn't how he ever was going to come. And so they rejected him. But now they're throwing these accusations out in a blasphemous manner. You know what I'm saying? And it makes political sense to tell a ruling occupier that this guy is saying that he's actually the king. But, you know, Pilate didn't... That was a religious thing, I suppose, to Pilate, and he wasn't moved by that. And he, you know, obviously had been privy and all, and there was nothing Jesus had done that... none of this stuff stuck is the bottom line. And it wasn't that simple, put it that way. Pilate tried to not join them, and they press and they press, like Karen said, the more fiercely until they eventually got their way, which we haven't read fully, but... we see Pilate never agrees with them in the accusations, but he does agree with them in the judgment, in the sense that he lets him go to the cross. He didn't stop that. So, Megan, if you find that, you just interrupt, okay? Because we're going to go ahead and go on.
If I find what?
Well, where you were researching to see if Jesus had ever said.
He didn't. I'm looking at I am.
Yeah.
You know, as to where, if he might have said, I am the Christ.
Yeah.
And he talks of himself as the Son of Man. But I have never actually looked for whether or not he said, I am, you know, the Christ or what have you. And I suspect we shan't find it because his father testified of him and who he was, so he didn't have to.
I think that's a good conclusion. And we know they knew that testimony. That's the thing. They just didn't. They rebelled against it. They rejected it.
John 8 says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. That bearing witness of himself isn't da-da-da-da, you know, I've arrived.
Yeah.
But just his obedience to his Father shows his service to his Father, and his Father shows, you know, who he is by that same thing.
Well, in, you know, we learned last night in listening to Acts where there were three men that stuck by Paul: Silas, Timothy, and Luke. And, you know, unlike Jesus, Paul wasn't perfect. Jesus was. He said only what the Father showed him, meaning he always said that which was right, true, and appropriate, however you want to put it. But those three men recognized God was with Paul, and so that's what was the ruling thing in their hearts, not Paul the man, who was a man. And that was talked about last night, too. But the testimony that God was with him was there. And certainly, the testimony not only of God being with Jesus, but that Jesus fulfilled all that God had said about Jesus, that these men were well versed in. So they knew what they were doing in the sense of the fact that they knew God was with this man. And we know that also from when Nicodemus came, which is recorded in John 3, and he's a Pharisee, comes by night, and he says, you know, we know that thou art a man sent from God, because no man doeth the works that you do unless God be with him. He was a Pharisee. He was sent by the Pharisees. He gave confession of what the Pharisees knew. But he was one of a handful of Pharisees, I certainly don't know the number, one before the cross that repented. There were those who did after the cross, Paul, the Apostle Paul being one of them, who came into agreement with the testimony, but many chose against it, even knowing the testimony that Nicodemus gave that was speaking for them all. So, anyways, let's continue on. Verse 14 there, Karen.
Okay, can I start at 13?
Yes, especially since okay. You haven't read it yet.
Okay. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast.
Okay, so Pilate gives... I mean, gosh, he examined them and found their accusations false. and he gives testimony that Herod, too, found no reason to, worthy of death in, nothing Jesus has done worthy of death. So both of these rulers, neither of them found Jesus worthy of death. So he says, I'll chastise him, I'll chasten him, and I'm going to let him go. For of necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast. And I believe that this was a tradition. I must say I don't know how it began, but Pilate's taking occasion here to release Jesus. He obviously doesn't want to do this. And because this is something they do, they release somebody condemned to death or somebody imprisoned, okay, I'm gonna chasten him, but then I'm gonna release him. This is the guy I'm gonna release. And so unless either of you want to say something, Karen, you can pick up again.
And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And
okay,
he released
hold on. Okay, go ahead, read that one too.
And he released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing when you look at what Barabbas had rightly been imprisoned for. Well, one, murder, and two, sedition, which is what they're really accusing Jesus of, to get the people in an uproar, to overthrow the government, to pervert the people. All the things they accused Jesus of, Barabbas is actually guilty of. And yet, you know, they want Barabbas, the guilty one, to be released because they want Jesus to take his place, which is exactly what Jesus did. And notice how requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So he's delivering them to the will of the people here. The chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave in to him. I think Pilate was moved with fear here because they had there was a vehemence in their cries and their calls for the crucifixion of Jesus, and to be able to control such a thing is something he's responsible and accountable for. So his solution to the problem was to agree to crucify Jesus. And so he releases the guilty man, and Jesus goes to the cross in his stead. So verse 26 there.
And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?
Okay. So we see, and Karen, I know you did a little research on this, that they laid the cross upon Simon, a Cyrenian, to bear for Jesus to his crucifixion. Did you want to?
Yes, and I looked up Cyrenian because I don't know a lot about the geography of the area. In fact, probably not very much at all. And so I looked up, and it's a Cyrenian's a native of Cyrene, and it's a Greek colony that was in North Africa, and it was a Roman city, and it's where Libya is, right, modern-day Libya is now, and that's where Simon was from.
And so as he's going, you see a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him, and Jesus turns to them. And he addresses them, Daughters of Jerusalem. So these are Jewish women. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. And the reason is because it's going to get really bad to the point where they're going to, the day is going to come in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never gave suck, because they're going to watch the destruction of their own children and themselves. And this we know occurred in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, and the Jews, there was a great slaughter of Jews. And he goes on to say there, for if they do these things in a green tree, I mean, look at what's happening right now while I'm here. What shall they be done in the dry? And that dry is coming. So weep, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves, because you think this is bad and worthy of lamenting. The time is going to come when you wish the mountains would fall upon you rather than live through or die through that time. So I think we'll stop there, because then we really have him on the cross, and we only have 11 minutes, but I think we'll just stop there, and we won't be here next Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. And if we find we need to go back and relook at anything, because we had that earlier discussion, we will look to do so then. So I hope everybody will stay tuned and join us again. So with that, I'll say good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
nothing more. We hold it in remembrance of an ancient golden shore.